Welcome to the First Responders Second Thoughts Podcast. Do you think the call ends when you hang up? Think again. This is where dispatchers speak the truth about the job, the calls, and the people who think 911 is a number to call when their fast food order is wrong. You'll hear real stories, unfiltered rants, mental health talk, and news headlines that show the good, the bad, and straight up what in the hell moments in this line of work. It's not always pretty, but it's always real, and so are we. I'm Alejandro, your host, and this is First Responders Second Thoughts. Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. My name is Alejandro. I'm your host of First Responders Second Thoughts. It's been a while. It's been a couple of months. Just needed a break for a little bit there. It's a lot of work, actually, to record podcasts when you're doing it on your own. And I think I've kind of touched on it before as far as building the segment and the script and then having to edit. And it takes kind of, you know, hours at a time to really edit down all the dead spaces and me having to start over in a certain segment because maybe I mispronounced something. But, you know, I'm back. I'm going to try to ease into it a little bit. I've just moved from the midnight shift to days. And I feel like on day shift, I have more structure in my life. I don't like getting up at 4:30 in the morning, that's for sure. I can't stand getting up at 4:30 in the morning. But I'm off at 6 p.m. in the evening. I come home, ride my bike for a little while. The wife comes home. We have dinner together, watch some TV, hang out for a little bit. And then I go to bed until, my weekend comes. So it's definitely an improvement in my routine in my personal life. On midnight shift, yes, I enjoyed it more because, you know, there's more action on the night shift and everything, but, you know, that left my home life out of balance. And when I got home, I didn't have a routine. It's, you know, do I want to stay up and play on the computer for a little bit until the wife gets up and gets ready for work? Or do I want to go to bed and maybe don't even get a chance to see her before she leaves and then, you know, wake up later and then get ready for work so I don't even see her? You know, the only time I get to see her is when I'm laying next to her in bed and I'm asleep and she's asleep. So for the sake of having a better home life, I decided to go back to day shift. And I had been on day shift before, and, you know, kind of the joke is that people wondered if I was going to actually make it, being on nights and evenings so long in my career. But it was the last time I did it a couple of rotations ago. It was great. Like, I had energy every morning. I was great. I made it through the day, and I loved it. I just missed the action on the night shift. But being 44 years old now, and I actually had my 15th year with my department on July 14th, but actually 20 years now total in 911, it was time to go back to days. And will I ever go back to nights? Honestly, being the age I am now, and probably not. I'm probably going to end up staying in days for a while. But these are new days off for me, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We work 3 12s and a 4-hour shift, so I'm off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I have a 4-hour day on Sunday. And then my week is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So we'll see. We'll see. I have had, the last time I was on days, I had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with a short day on Saturday, and I really like those. So we'll see what it's like having these days off. Didn't really have a script so much for what I wanted to talk about this week or this month, whatever you want to call it, this episode. But I did want to bring up one thing that's been coming up in the news lately, and that is a dispatcher in Twinsburg, Ohio, that apparently snapped at a caller. And yeah, let's talk about it. So one big mistake when dispatchers snap. So we've all had that caller, right? The one who redials and calls us over and over, like the phone line belongs to them, like they own the police department. Well, what if a dispatcher finally snapped and said what we've all thought in our minds at some point? And that's exactly what happened in Twinsburg, Ohio. And now that dispatcher is out of a job and in the courtroom. So dispatcher Loretta Nash was a veteran with years of service in Twinsburg, Ohio. She was charged with telecommunications harassment after calling a resident, Karen Clinton, and saying, "Congratulations, you win the prize. It's called the Booby Prize. You are the dumbest person to call the police department on a repeated basis. Since 2010, you have made 183 phone calls, and in the last 5 years, we've conducted 954 traffic details on your street." So that is what Nash told Clinton. Karen Clinton, being a former firefighter and police dispatcher herself, she says to Action 5 News that she knows how important 911 calls are, and she says she would never abuse the 911 line. She told the news that when she did call first responders, she said it was never on the emergency line, but always on personal numbers. Now, I take a little bit of an issue with that line, because it says she always called on personal numbers. As someone who is a dispatcher, that's not something you're supposed to do. You're a citizen like everyone else, and you're supposed to call the non-emergency line. You don't need to call the chief directly or the assistant chief or the patrol sergeant or something like that. You're supposed to use the same process that everyone else does and call into dispatch. Karen did go on to say the call was to humiliate me by implying that I would make frivolous calls to 911, and that's absolutely not true. She says the Twinsburg police chief called her later that night and apologized for Nash's alleged tirade. And Clinton decided to file a formal complaint against Nash and eventually pressed criminal charges. She came into my home via telecommunications and she terrorized me in my own home. I want her charged, Clinton said. Nash was charged with telecommunications harassment and prohibited conduct, in which she obviously pleaded not guilty to both charges on July 10th municipal court. The news, Action 5 News, reached out to the city of Twinsburg and they said that Nash no longer works for the Twinsburg Police Department. Well, I hope not. The mayor released a statement saying, "We take these matters very seriously and will continue to do so if something this unfortunate happens again." And Karen Clinton is still at a loss for why she was targeted. She said, "I can't understand why she singled me out." And that's precisely what she did. She targeted me. And it was one of the most cruel, heinous things, Clinton said. So Loretta is due back in court for a pretrial hearing on July 28th. That's just a little under 2 weeks from now. And if the case goes to trial, it will be on September 28th. So let's address the charge of telecommunication harassment. So when we look at the Ohio Penal Code, it states that a person is guilty of telecommunications harassment if they knowingly place a telecommunication with the purpose to harass, intimidate, or abuse the recipient. Let's look at everything as a whole. Was this a telecommunication? Yes. The dispatcher called Karen directly with the intent to speak, making it a telecommunication under Ohio law. Two, was there purpose to harass, intimidate, or abuse? The dispatcher used mocking and demeaning language. She said, quote, "You are the dumbest person to call the police department on a repeated basis." Under their law, that statement was personal, insulting, and delivered with the intent to demean. So that aligns perfectly with harassment under Section A1 and A6 of the Ohio Penal Code, which says knowingly making comments, quote, "threatening, intimidating, menacing, coercive, or obscene with the intent to abuse, threaten, or harass." This was not a neutral or professional communication. It was clearly meant to belittle and embarrass. Let's look at the third part. Was it conducted without a lawful business purpose? Yes, the call was not related to any active case or pressing public safety issue. It was a personal, unsolicited call, which is not standard procedure for dispatchers. And under Section A11 of the Ohio Penal Code, under telecommunications harassment, calls without lawful purpose, especially offensive ones, also qualify. And then we also look at purposeful versus incidental. Ohio courts require intent, not just the impact of the communication. So here, Nash's abusive language and tone strongly suggest that it was her intent to harass that caller. The personal nature of her comment makes it hard for her to claim it was just an accident or justified. So yes, Nash made a telecommunication. Her words were harassing and intentionally abusive. The call lacked any official or legitimate purpose, and so she met all the elements laid out in Ohio Penal Code under telecommunications harassment. So yes, this qualifies as that on a first offense for her. So we'll see what happens in that case, and I'll try to follow that along as much as I can. So that's the legal test that Ohio uses for telecommunications harassment. It has to have intent plus harassing content and her tone. Listen to the call. You can find it anywhere. You can listen to her personal insults and her tone of voice, and it perfectly aligns with her statute. So my question to you is, should emotional outbursts by dispatchers who are public servants be criminalized under law, or should it just be handled administratively? So let's apply this with Texas law, because I know a lot of you listening are in Texas. Under 42.07, a person commits an offense if, with intent to harass, annoy, alarm, abuse, torment, or embarrass another, they cause the telephone of another to ring repeatedly or makes repeated telephone communications in a manner reasonably likely to harass, annoy, alarm, abuse, torment, embarrass, or offend another, and they also send electronic communications or make phone calls using obscene or threatening language or intending to inflict emotional distress. So in here, even under Texas law, Nash called Clinton directly. The call was not business related. So in my opinion, that satisfies the medium there that this was a telephone communication. Loretta called Clinton the dumbest person to ever call the department. Her tone and words clearly suggest the purpose wasn't to inform, warn, or investigate, but to personally insult her. And then Clinton said she felt humiliated and afraid, which matches the Texas standard of alarm or emotional distress. So this call was not tied to any kind of law enforcement investigation that was going on, like we're calling about an active case. It was clearly retaliatory and personal. That was not professional. So would this be a crime in Texas? Yes, this could be. It could be potentially be a crime under 42.07. All the elements really are met. And I believe harassment like this would be a Class B misdemeanor. So that's pretty serious. Other things we have are like official oppression and misuse of official information. It just, those are possibilities too. So if this happened in Texas, it wouldn't be just bad judgment. It really could be criminal harassment, plain and simple. So Texas law doesn't care if you're wearing a headset or a badge. If you're using your position to intimidate or humiliate a resident, you're stepping out of line and you may be seeing the inside of a jail cell. But let's have some fun. And let's play devil's advocate here for a minute and just completely defend the dispatcher. You know, chronic misuse of 911 or even non-emergency calls, it takes a toll on us. You know, 183 calls from one person over 15 years, whether it's an emergency or not, that's a drain on staff and resources. I can tell you, I have called the police department for things maybe 6 or 7 times in my entire career. That's 20 years. Now, my entire life, I bet the number would stay the same. I don't normally call for every little thing, which I kind of have a feeling this person did, but I don't. Like people speeding up and down the street, I'm not going to really call on that unless it becomes a habitual issue, but it's not. So 183 calls for one person, and that person was a former dispatcher. That's a lot of damn phone calls, folks, even if it is 15 years. And I'm actually kind of curious if that's correct. I've actually filed a FOIA to see if that number is actually accurate, and I'll try to follow up that on a later episode. But we are also expected to absorb everything. So from non-emergency calls to nonsense to real emergencies to traumatic events, and we are trained to never show it, at least on the phone. So that one moment of snapping in a long career isn't just rare. It could be the sign of a deeper problem. And if I read correctly, she had recently retired and came back to work and draw retirement at the same time. And maybe she just needed to hang it up. So if Karen Clinton's contact pattern was known, where she constantly called, did leadership intervene? Were there any warnings or documentation issues going on? Maybe it shouldn't have been left to dispatch to handle it until they reached a boiling point. You know, did the chief of police ever get involved previously? There's a lot of questions here, right? I mean, it's very vague. I wish there's got to be more to this. Like I said, devil's advocate. The dispatcher didn't threaten any violence. She expressed frustration. Did she do it poorly? Absolutely. But should that result in criminal charges? I could argue no. I don't think it should. But if we look at the other side on Karen Clinton's issue, this was personal. Loretta didn't say this over a radio. She dialed Clinton directly and launched into a mocking rant. That's retaliation, folks. That's not dispatch. Public trust is also the cornerstone of our profession. When the citizens call us, even repeatedly, they expect professionalism, and a dispatcher using their authority to shame someone crosses every line that we know. Karen has public safety experience herself. She's a former firefighter and dispatcher. She wasn't abusing the system. She was trying to protect her neighborhood using the channels available to her, and she's a taxpayer. No one deserves to feel targeted. And Clinton says she felt humiliated and scared. Now, I would argue against scared, personally, because I'm like, okay. But if citizens are afraid to call their own police department, guess what? We've lost that credibility, and they're not going to call us for the things that are major because of the way they talked to me before, right? So as someone who's been a dispatcher for 20 years, and I haven't mentioned this on any other previous podcast, but I also serve as a mayor in the city in which I reside. In fact, I was just reelected back in May, so this is my second term. I'll tell you this, though. Every one of us in public service has wanted to do what Loretta did at some point in our career in 911, but we didn't. Do you know why? Because we hold ourselves to a standard, folks. Because one bad call can damage the credibility of not just us, but the entire department and the profession. And because once that line gets crossed, it's not just a mistake, it's ammunition for every critic of our profession, every legislature who's going to vote against legislation that maybe expands our 911 service fees or anything that we need now because of the way that dispatcher handled that situation with that caller. So outbursts like this do reveal that kind of stress that we face behind the scenes, but they also do real harm to the public's trust in us, and that is very important. We talk about accountability from the public, but the accountability starts with us, folks. So yes, what she did, we have probably all wanted to do at some point in our career, but the difference is you and I are professionals, she is not. And because of that, she has set our profession back in the eyes of the public. How far? I don't know. But what's the bigger issue here? A citizen who called 183 times over 15 years, or a dispatcher who just made one call too many? Should chronic calling be flagged sooner? Or is this what happens when public servants are pushed to the edge without support? Look, I've worn the headset and I've worn the title, and I've felt the weight that comes with both being a dispatcher and a mayor. In public safety, we carry a burden most people will never understand unless they've done it. The frustration, the emotional exhaustion, and the constant pressure to be calm, collected, and professional, no matter what's coming through the line or across our desk. So yes, I understand why that dispatcher snapped. I truly do. But I also understand what it costs us when we do that. Outbursts like that don't just reflect a moment of weakness. They shape how the public sees all of us. And when that trust breaks, we all feel it. As a mayor, I can tell you I would never want to stand in front of a resident and have to apologize for behavior like that. And if I have to, I promise you someone in that department would be hearing from me. because this job, this calling that we've all answered is about more than just answering phone calls. It's about representing something bigger than ourselves. And if we forget that, like Loretta did, even for a second, the whole system cracks. We can do better, and we have to. Because in this line of work, how we carry ourselves matters just as much as the calls we take. I'm Alejandro. Thanks for listening to First Responders Second Thoughts. Stay safe, stay grounded, and I'll speak to you on the next shift.